Now we have Dr. Jonah Ashton with us on the line. And Dr. John is going to be talking to us a bit about processed meats. It has been all over in the media again. And apparently they're saying that eating processed meats is not very good to you at all. So, Dr. John, is it better? What do we do with it? A lot of people do like to eat their ham, their bacon, and their other processed meats. What is the science telling us about those kinds of foods?
Yeah, sure. Well, I guess science is catching up with the Bible, because if we remember when God gave the health laws to the Israelites back when they had just come out of Egypt there, they were not to eat red meat. So they were to actually, if the meat that they were eating, they had to process the meat to remove the blood, for example, before eating it. And it's quite fascinating now that quite a lot of research has accumulated over the years to understand the chemistry that's going on. And so particularly in red meat, there's a compound called heme. And this is broken down in the stomach by the compounds in the stomach and acids to nitroso chemicals. And these chemicals have been found to damage the cells that line the bowel. And so this can lead to bowel cancer. And it's interesting, the same, these similar chemicals are formed also when processed meats are digested. So a lot of processed meats contain nitrites and nitrate preservatives, and these also produce these nitroso chemicals, again, that damage the cell walls in the bowel. So, yeah, quite a lot of research is being done now. The world, a couple of years ago now, the World Health Organization classified processed meats, including meats such as ham, bacon, salami, frankfurts, these sort of things, as group 1 carcinogens. In other words, that is, they're known to cause cancer. And then, of course, general red meat, such as, you know, your beef, lamb, pork, etc., are now classified as group 2A carcinogens, and that means that they probably cause cancer. So they're also associated with a higher risk of cancer. But as we know, with the highly processed meats, they are known to cause cancer.
So that's very interesting, Dr. John. And these, if I'm not mistaken, these level 1 carcinogenic substances, basically they are on par with the likes of plutonium and cigars and asbestos and all kinds of really toxic elements to the human body. My question is, why do we still find them in the supermarkets?
Well, I guess it's the same reason why do we still find alcohol in the supermarket, because, you know, alcohol also is a class 1 carcinogen. But it's because traditionally people have used these foods. I mean, meat has been used as a food. It's a, you know, a traditional food that people eat. And I guess, you know, in many places, you know, it's the main food that people have access to. We know now, of course, I mean, there are a lot of substitutes that people can include in their diet instead of red meat, you know, for example, eggs and the legumes such as your lentils, your chickpeas, split peas and canned beans and of course your nuts, you know, like peanuts and almonds. And then, of course, you've got your processed legumes. So when you process, like, your soy, you get your tofu and tempeh. These are the things. And, of course, you've got fast food alternatives. You could have a veggie patty burger or a tofu stir fry or a falafel wrap. you know, these sort of things. But it comes down to, you know, traditional foods that people have eaten. We also need to remember, though, of course, that in a lot of the areas where these traditional foods are eaten, the life expectancy is, you know, is much shorter. And so, for example, you know, in the United States, you know, back in the 19th century, you know, the life expectancy was 50 or 60 years on average. And, you know, even last century, when you think about it, a lot of people, you know, died in their 60s and 60s, whereas now we, due to medical intervention and cancer treatments, we are able to, in developed countries, have longer life expectancy. But
it's funny you should mention that. I was just reading in the internet the other day in a newspaper article from Brazil of the 1920s, and there's something that happened. I think that a lady was mugged, and they were just reporting that. But it was interesting how the newspaper reported. An elderly woman in her 40s was robbed while she was trying to cross from that street to the other street. So back in the days, if you were at least in Brazil, if you're in your 40s, you were already considered an elderly person. And now, of course, it's 40 years, you're 40 years young, you know, and it's...
Yeah. I think one of the things is meat is certainly been a good protein source for a lot of people. And, you know, people do need protein. One of the problems with meat is, of course, that when the animals are killed, the waste products are in the animals, and so we have to deal with the animal waste products. The other thing, of course, today is, too,
What do you mean by waste product? You meaning
the waste products of metabolism, so uric acid and these sort of things. Also, certain hormone levels would be there and increased as the animal senses it's going to be killed and panics, this sort of thing. When we look at the way, for example, you know, so some of the alternative meats that are suggested instead of the red meat, so things like fish and chicken, these sort of meats. Unfortunately, today, of course, the chickens are raised on a diet that causes them to, in effect, develop diabetes and put on weight. And so, yeah, it's not very good. But on the other hand, we need to remember that Jesus talked about some good foods. He talked about how, you know, if parents know how to give their children you know, bread or fish or eggs. Parents know how to give good gifts to their children, how much more will God give us the gift of the Holy Spirit to open up?
Yes.
So I think, you know, depending on our means, we have to have a balanced diet. Not everybody can, you know, tolerate, you know, beans and nuts and these sort of things. I think there's a big need for education that plant-based foods certainly have a lot of advantages. They take often a little bit more to prepare sometimes, although, you know, nuts are readily available. You know, beans have to be cooked often a little bit longer. But there are some really good, you know, recipes around to learn how to use plant-based foods. And I think the important thing is just to include more plant-based foods in our diet. Now, there are a lot of subtle advantages with plant-based foods that we perhaps don't realise. Now, one of the issues facing older people as they age is sarcopenia, in other words, muscle loss. And the traditional approach to this has been to just include more protein in the diet. We need to understand that just eating a whole lot more protein in the diet, particularly, you know, meat-type protein, affects the acidic reactions in the blood. And the blood has to balance this by keeping the pH steady. And so you have to balance an acid with an alkali. And the alkali comes from the calcium in our bones. And so eating a lot of meat can cause deterioration in our bones, promote osteoporosis, because the calcium has to come from somewhere. And if we're not getting enough calcium in the diet, but we're eating a lot of protein, then it'll affect and weaken our bones. So the other thing we're
I just want to track back just for a little moment. Just coming back to the processed meats that have been on the media quite a lot. You mentioned that they have nitrates and nitrites part of their composition.
Yep.
Are these substances naturally occurring, or are they added to what do they do are they bad?
Yeah, sure. In the processed meat, these chemicals are added to preserve those meats so that they keep. So during the processing. So they're preservatives that are added to the meat.
Course, so could they do these processed meats without them? Like, would that make it any better?
Well, it would make it a little bit better, but if those meats have, you know, still have the blood in them, the heme, then yes, you've still got the same problem. Maybe not to the same extent.
And isn't it that these meats are often recommended for people who are like anemic and they need to get more red blood cells so that it can carry the iron? Isn't that what it's often recommended for in some cases?
Well, yeah, okay. So certainly the iron in meat is readily available. Mm-hmm. And ladies need that. Fertile ladies need that extra iron. But there are certainly other ways that we can get the iron from other foods in the diet. But that you're getting into a situation then where, you know, that's a medical condition that is needed there. But the iron absorption, it's a fascinating area that in that certain people that have problems with iron, not always eating red meat, solves that problem. And so scientists are still trying to understand why there is this iron deficiency essentially in many countries worldwide. But it's very interesting that that grapes particularly can be very good bioavailable sources, such as, you know, sultanas and currants, raisins, these sort of things. Cocoa is an excellent cocoa. Is an excellent source of bioavailable iron. So
I have no idea. I will eat more of that.
Me too. I'm already thinking of my breakfast smoothie now with a bit of cocoa powder, and I'll be happier cacao, drinking that up.
Yeah, so you want the cacao. So that is the minimum processed chocolate.
So you want the cacao as a fruit, or it could be the cacao powder? Or
Yeah, the cacao powder. Just as you buy, or the nibs, the cacao nibs, they are actually very good sources of iron. The iron in that is quite highly bioavailable because of the other compounds in this. And just from memory, I think there are certain other grains. I can't remember which ones, whether it's amaranth or quinoa or these sort of things. You have to look it up, but there are ones that other other plant sources that are relatively good sources of iron as well. And so again, in a balanced diet, and this is where I think knowledge and study in the plant based foods diet and people learning more about plant based foods and how they can prepare is excellent. So Dr. Sue Rad's book, Food as Medicine, is very, very good in this area. But I think that the bottom line is this, that there's another factor too associated with meat, just quickly, and that is it changed the type of bacteria in our gut system and tends to promote bacteria that are also associated with cancer. So Dr. Herman Alderkreutz, back in the 1980s, working out of the University of Helsinki, did a lot of work in this area. He was a pioneer in this area, and a lot of work has been done in the, now the last quarter of a century or 30 or so years to show that as we eat meat, it changes the type of bacteria that proliferate in our gut, and those bacteria are associated with bacteria that upregulate cancer genes and so forth.
Wow.
So there's
so,
definitely a very another very strong link between cancer meat eating.
It's interesting to know that there are various pathways about how meat consumption can be connected and linked to the onset of bowel cancer, and how there are other plant-based alternatives to provide this iron that a lot of people are after when they're eating their meat. Dr. John, our time ran out, but we are so glad that you could be with us today. Thank you so much for sharing a little bit of your knowledge, and I'm looking forward to catch up with you. Maybe we can catch up on a hot cup of cocoa powder with cacao powder. And thank you so much. We're looking forward to have you again with us next time.
You're listening to The Breakfast Show podcast on Faith FM. Positively different.
I'm Scaffy. I'm here in the studio with Lindsay and with Shells. And you are our guest here today. We want to know, there anything, what are some of the greatest kinds of injustices in the world that perhaps either you suffered from or that just make you mad about and you're passionate about? What is it? You know, we're talking that because in the very beginning of the show, we spoke about finding your purpose. And sometimes you can find your purpose in your skills. You might not hear this, but Lindsay was singing when we were singing here. And she has a great singing voice.
Thank you.
So that's an opportunity. You can use that. You can do ministry. You can sing at churches to people. But sometimes not only your skills can be used to find out your purpose, but also your hurts, your traumas, and the things that you really suffer about. And you can say, you know what, I want to do something about it. And actually, we had a message here from our radio friend, Lindsay and Shells. And this is what she said here. So I'm going to read. This is a message from Sherry. So Sherry said, hey, good morning, beautiful radio family. What about pet hate? I wish the masses would love their neighbors as much as they love their pets. Blessings for your day. And, oh, by the way, when does daylight savings end, please? So let's get in part here. Do you know when the daylight savings end?
Oh, is it like first Sunday of April or something?
It is April 5th.
Okay.
The first Sunday.
April 5th, first Sunday of April. So there you go.
A couple more weeks.
You know what? Let me tell you this. I think that it's a great idea. I think that love for animals is a great thing. And some people, they treat their animals better than they treat their neighbors. And I think that's, from a Christian perspective, is of concern. So, but I'll tell you this story, Sherry. In Brazil, there was this church. And they had, I think, two vets that were part of this church. And they said, look, we want to do something. They were passionate about animals. They're passionate about God's mission. You know what they did? They set up a free pet clinic at the church premises.
Nice.
So once or twice a week, these veterinarians will go there and they will see pets for free. Whoever wants to send their pets there, they will send for free. And as they're seeing their pets, they will also will pray for them, will pray for their owners. They would, you know, start conversations with people. And actually, a lot of people started to go to that church.
Wow.
Because they said, oh, wow, that's great that we have a church here that loves us and loves our pets
that's
as
so
well.
Cool. Meeting people where they're at.
That's right. And using your gifts and your talents, your opportunities, you know, as your ministry.
Yeah, definitely.
Your passion can be your ministry as well as the things in the world that you want to change.
Mm.
Very good. So thank you so much, Sherry, for your message. Wayne also sent a message here. He said, hey, I'm running for hope step by step, 42.5-kilometer marathon for Canberra City Care, Canberra City Care. Providing food, clothing, mental health support to those in need. So, Wayne, this is great. What a great project that you're involved. What a great cause as well. And 42.5K is a marathon. Man, I am impressed. Are you training for that? I never ran a marathon. I think that the longest I've run was not even a half marathon. I think the longest I ran was I did a couple of 15Ks.
I haven't even fully run like a 5K. Like I did a 5K, but I didn't run it. I just kind of walked most of the time.
Okay. Well, there you go. Wow, Wayne, well done. Great job. What a great endurance here. I cycled 300 kilometers.
Wow.
But in 3 days, 100Ks
a day. Okay, yeah, no, that's fair.
But it was a lot of effort. Brutal.
Particularly was it up and down?
It was in the Great Ocean Road.
Oh, nice.
So it was beautiful views. Yeah, scenic. It was very nice.
Oh, cool.
Great. So we have also a book here, Lindsay. It's called Memorable Encounters by Alejandro Bardenas. Not Alejandro.
Roberto.
We have something with Alejandro today
we had Alejandro,
in our show.
Yeah,
Roberto Bardenas. It's Memorable Encounters of characters. You know, it's about the stories of people that met Jesus in the Bible. So, you know, John the Baptist and Nicodemus. But, you know, Roberto is a great storyteller. He explains the context. It's a very nice book to read. It's a book that you can read before you go to bed. You can read to your kids. You can to yourself. It's a great devotional book.
Yeah. Okay.
It's worthwhile reading. It's going to amp up your Bible knowledge and make some great applications to you. It's a book that is great. And by the way, if you read this book, if you like it, why not give it, pass the love of the book forward? And I think that this is also underestimated. I think that books make some of the better gifts people can ever get.
Definitely.
So how do you get this book? Well, it's very expensive.
Not really.
No, it is expensive for us. It's not expensive for you. Because for you, you are our guest. We're spreading the love for you in the hope that this is going to generate fruit in your life and you're going to be paying it forward. How do you do that? It's 0491-064-669. Or if you actually, you know, you realize that we give a lot of books. You know, how do we pay for these books? Through donations. Faith FM has an incredible, solid family of donations that contribute. So if you actually want to be a part of that, just jump in faithfm.com.au/donate or just go into our faithfm.com.au. You see the big button there for donations. And this is how we actually manage to keep this radio running. For free from ads, so you're not driving in the morning hearing ads about plumbers or, you know, window shutters or whatever it is.
Just random stuff.
You just get full, undiluted gospel of Jesus Christ presented to you, freely given, if you have freely received, then freely give. This is what we're doing. But if you do have in your heart that you like this ministry, you want to contribute, you want it to get even further, you can support us by making a donation to faithfm.com.au. That will be very, very much appreciated. So, Shells, do we have another quiz question?
Please say yes.
Oh, we do.
Yay!
Multiple choice.
All right. So hold off from the multiple choices, okay?
just for the extra challenge for us in the studio.
Lindsay is very hard to beat. Like, she knows her Bible. Let me tell you. Okay.
All right, so our multiple and I think, like, with this one, I'm not going to expect the exact words, okay?
Okay, but extra points for the exact
words. Oh, yeah, if you get the exact words, extra points.
Just for that little bit, extra bit of incentive.
Sure.
All right, the question is, why did the Lord finally reject Saul from being king? And while they're thinking, you can text in 0491-064-669. Why did the Lord finally reject Saul from being king? I'll give you guys options in a moment.
Maybe one of these words are what you're looking for.
Yeah, no, not really, guys. Like
you said, exact words.
Look, I know, but okay, I think
give us two options.
I think they're all characteristics of why he did it, but you'll understand why when you hear.
Okay, let's
give
the multiple choice.
Okay,
all right. Why did the Lord finally reject Saul from being king? Option A: Saul prophesied with the prophets. No. Option B: you can't tell everyone else. Option B, because he tried to kill David. Option C, because he had rejected the word of the Lord. And option D, because he went to the witch of Endor. Now, let me give you them again. Yes, I think that, yes, they're both getting it now.
I mean, that's basically what I had said earlier, just with different words.
Yeah. All right, for everyone listening, because there was a lot there, let's go one more time. Why did the Lord finally reject Saul from being king? Option A, Saul prophesied with the prophets. Option B, because he tried to kill David. Option C, because he had rejected the word of the Lord. Or option D, because he went to the witch of Endor. Text us in on 0491-064-669.
Nice. Okay. Very good. Alrighty. So, let's move on then to our 20 million movement Bible study. Yesterday we were talking about the two greatest commandments. And a really cool insight that I found about the Pharisee that was testing Jesus, asking that one as well. You know, because sometimes you can claim to live by the two greatest commandments, mm-hmm. love God and love your neighbor, but you don't really. You instead of, because it says love God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul.
With all your strength.
With all your strength. And love your neighbor as yourself. Mm-hmm. Sometimes what you do, we alter the order. You love yourself with all your strong, all your might, strength, and then you love the Lord as your neighbor, if that.
yeah, and actually, that's problematic. You're not wrong.
That's right. So that's definitely was the case with that Pharisee that was asking Jesus the question. This is why he didn't reply. He didn't say anything. But now we're going to be looking, the question that we beg to ask is this, Lindsay.
Mm-hmm.
If love the Lord and love the neighbor are the two greatest commandments, what are the two greatest sins?
Ooh, I remember you were letting us know yesterday that this is where we were going to go. I forgot about that.
So now, let's open up the Bible in Psalm 135.
Psalm?
Yes, verse 13 to 19.
Not
Psalm
what I expected. Psalm 135, what was it again?
Just one thing here. I forgot to give the key word for the book, Memory Encounters. I was gently and kindly reminded by Hannah. Hannah, thank you so much for the reminder. Scaffy here did indeed forget. It's the code word is #remember. So #remember if you want to get the book Memorable Encounters by Roberto Patenas. Very good. So Psalm 135, did you find it in your Bible?
I did.
Okay. So what does it say?
In what verse, sorry?
Verse 13 to 19.
13 to 19.
Okay. Let's just read, like, you know, slowly, but you know, verse by verse.
Sure. Your name, O Lord, endures forever. Your fame, O Lord, throughout all generations. For the Lord will judge his people, and he will have compassion on his servants. The idols of the nations are silver and gold, the work of men's hands. They have mouths, but they do not speak. Eyes they have, but they do not see. They have ears, but they do not hear. Nor is there any breath in their mouths. Those who make them are like them. So is everyone who trusts in them. Bless the Lord, O house of Israel. Bless the Lord, O house of Aaron.
Yes. It is an interesting psalm, very beautifully here. Mm-hmm. What do you get from that? Like, what is that passage saying, Lindsay, from what you could tell?
I see it's contrasting the difference between the one true God and the idols that are just made by men's hands with, I guess, the intentions of men's hearts to, like, bow down and worship their own selfish things that they want, right?
Versus, yeah, let's talk about idols for a second, right? Because idols are more common than you would think.
Yes, absolutely. And I want to just make this comment that I've had conversations with other Christians before who believe that they don't have idols in their life. Just because they don't have a little statue in their house that they bow down to, but they just neglect to see that there are other things that they don't have to be like a little fat man, like made of metal sitting, as like a little, you know, little shrine in their home, but they can be something else in their heart or their life that they are essentially bowing down to, essentially making higher than God in their life.
Yes. Wow. Okay. I think we open up a little can of worms here. Let's explore them, because you're very right. Idolatry here Israel, like back in the days, idolatry was like you have a god, you have a national god mm-hmm. or gods, and mm-hmm. you have statues, and you carry those statues around. Mm-hmm. These statues will bring you good luck and good fortune,
yeah.
and you can talk to them. And lots of culture practice that in various different forms.
Yeah, most of the cultures around the world.
Yes.
In one way or another.
In one way or the other.
Whether they're totem poles or whether they're the Aztecs or like whatever it
can
be.
That's right. What is an idol? An idol is, I would say here, is an object, but it doesn't necessarily need to be an object.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? But just to start with a very basic level, an idol is an object to whom you attribute some kind of power
mm-hmm.
that goes beyond just the fact that it's just a mere object.
Yeah.
So it's something that either will bless you or will protect you or will, bring you good luck or you name it. It's going to be something, going to bring some spiritual benefit to you.
You're listening to The Breakfast Show. Connect with us on 0491 064 669.
Because a lot of people think that idols are just objects or statues that you have to bow down mm-hmm. to and worship, which is not the case. Sometimes some of these idols, they did have that.
Mm-hmm.
People would like worship them and bow down to them and have this really pay homage to it. Other times, you know, they just believe they're going to bring some energy, mm-hmm. some positive energy, some healing, some luck.
That could be crystals or
yeah.
Yeah.
So that's an idol. And what this psalm is saying is that, look, there's all these idols, all these statues, and they have eyes, but they don't see. They mm-hmm. have ears, they don't hear. Like, there's nothing in them. You know, the people think that they do things, but they don't. But then there's another element to these idols. And a lot of these gods, the Bible says in the book of Deuteronomy, that these foreign gods of the nations, they were actually demons.
Yeah.
The Bible says it with all words. Moses says that in Deuteronomy. I'll find the Bible verse here for you in a second here. But I think it's in around chapter 30, maybe, okay. of Deuteronomy. Anyway, I'll find the Bible text if you want, radio friend. I'll send it to you. And so these idols, they were symbolizing, they were representing, let's say, Baal. Mm-hmm. Or Dagon. Dagon yeah. was, you know, the god of one of the gods of the Philistines. Mm-hmm. Baal was one of the gods of the Ashtoreth. Canaanites. Ashtaroth and all of the different gods mm-hmm. That they worshipped.
Yeah.
And so, well, people can say, well, maybe they don't see. Well, maybe they have eyes. They don't see like the statue, but it's certainly symbolizing someone or something mm-hmm. that does see.
Yeah.
But again, the problem is these idols. Differently from God, maybe they do have eyes, but they don't really see. They don't see because they're selfish. These idols, you cannot count on them. Their protection is either very costly or they're very short-sighted. You ended up going to become just like them.
Mm.
This is the thing. You cannot trust in these idols. And no. even if you're believing that you're worshiping some kind of element of nature, some kind mm-hmm. of spirit, some kind of guardian angel, some kind of, you know, deceased person, whatever it is, Jesus say, hey, they are not even fit to be part of, to be worshipped by you. Because guess what? They are demons, and demons only think about themselves.
Yeah.
And ultimately, they're going to exact you a high cost for their your allegiance to them. And that high cost will eventually be your own soul.
Yeah. And so these people, like in ancient times, would worship these idols, these gods, whatever they would call them, in order, like, they would usually want their crops to
prosperity.
They would want, physical pleasures in life, anything yes. that was like for their survival or for their pleasure. That's pretty much what it would boil down to. And so when they were actually worshiping these idols or these gods, they were basically trying to manipulate this higher power into giving them what they wanted.
Yeah.
Right?
Or bargain with.
Yeah, bargain. Which yeah. is essentially a type of manipulation in a sense. It's like, I do this, or it might be works-based type of thinking where if I give the god yeah. this, then the god will have give to give me.
I'm buying the favor.
Yeah. So you still have to do something in order to get the things that you want out of life. It's not this relationship that we have with Jesus, right, where Jesus gives us everything freely and full of his grace, and he wants to have a relationship with us. But sometimes we as Christians can approach God in this sort of bargaining, manipulative mindset of, hey, I want to get something out of God right now.
That's right. And and this is why, and why we're talking about this one, because idolatry is a sin that is often repeated, that is also often called out in the Bible many, many times. And I believe that this sin will be the opposite of the first great commandment of loving the Lord with all your mind, with all your soul, with all your strength. That's that. Oh, here we got the Shells, you got the text for us. You can jump in. Just tell us what is the passage? Is Deuteronomy chapter what?
Yeah, I was just trying to help you guys.
Thank you.
yeah, go for it.
So we've got Deuteronomy 32:17. They sacrificed to demons, not God, to deities they had never known, to new ones recently arrived whom your ancestors had not feared.
That's right.
And then in the New Testament, it's Paul that confirms that same idea. He says in 1 Corinthians 10:19, but I say that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to demons and not to God. And I would not that ye should have communion with demons.
Amen. There you go. Okay.
There we go.
So this is diametrically opposed to loving God. So basically when you're having an idol, what you're saying is that, because to love God is to, and to respect him is pretty much the same. It's very similar.
Mm-hmm.
Very similar thing. So, when you have an idol, what you're saying, God, you know what? I don't want the blessings coming from you. I would much rather have these blessings coming from another source that is not you, because I don't have anything to do with you.
Yeah. No, that's a really interesting thought of, it can come from a lack of trust of God.
Yeah.
Lack of trust that he wants the best for you and he will provide the best for you. Maybe it's this sense of, I want to be in control of my own destiny, of my own life journey and my own direction of the things in my life. And if I submit to God's leadership, his control, his blessings, then it has to be on his terms and not my own.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the thing as well is that we said, like, you know, you can buy these blessings, you know, you can just purchase these idols, these amulets, these tokens. With God, there's also a cost for the blessings. Well, they come free. You don't have to pay any money. But the blessings, they come as a result of obedience of faith.
Yes.
So when you have obedience of faith, and obedience of faith means that moral integrity and self-denial. Where is these idols? I said, no, you don't need any of that. You don't really need to worry about what goes on in your heart. Just give me a little bit of your money, a little bit of your time. Problem solved. You know, you don't really.
Very easy religion.
Yes. And of course, I'm also talking here because the problem of idolatry is a very interesting thing that I found out when I was reading the Bible, Lindsay, is that God only condemned idolatry when it was practiced by the Israelites.
Right.
When God was giving oracles to the other nations who were idolaters by, you know,
just natural.
But naturally.
Yeah.
He never condemned them for their idolatry.
Interesting. Why do you think that's...
I think that, look, they didn't know better.
Yeah.
They were worshiping their gods out of ignorance. This is what they knew.
Yeah. They're so, like, there's some kind of God out there. Let's worship whatever it is that we know.
That's right. So God was holding them accountable for because they were like perverting justice and for their violence, for their dealing treacherously with one another.
That's interesting. But the Israelites
But Israelites, when God had an oracle to the Israelites, the number one sin that God is saying is your idolatry. Because like, you should have known better. You
that's
know me.
So
and yet you're going through other gods.
Mm.
So God also takes, you know, he takes into account, you know, where we are, you know, so because we're talking about idolatry here, and maybe someone is listening to the car, say, hey, look, I'm an idolater. I worship idols, but look, this, I don't know any better.
Sure.
Yeah. If you don't know any better.
You know that there's a God and you're doing the best
that you
know how.
That's right. God does not take us to the same level of accountability for the things that we have no idea about.
Sure. Yeah. He winks at our ignorance.
That's right.
Yeah.
So this is the first one. You know, idolatry, meaning to disrespect. So if the greatest commandment is to love God, one of the greatest sins is to disregard God, disrespect God, or to betray God, to look for God everywhere else. This is the number one sin, idolatry.
Yeah.
So then, what would be the second greatest sin?
Ooh, I don't know. What would it
well,
be?
Well, let's start by looking into the book of Zechariah chapter 7.
Zechariah?
Yes.
Ooh, when was the last time we went to Zechariah?
Zechariah. Let's visit go. Zechariah chapter 7, verse 9.
7 verse 9?
Yeah.
Okay. It says, "Thus says the Lord of hosts, execute true justice, show mercy and compassion, everyone to his brother."
All right. Keep going to verse 12.
Verse 12? Okay. Yeah. "Do not oppress the widow or the fatherless, the alien or the poor. Let none of you plan evil in his heart against his brother." But they refused to heed, shrugged their shoulders and stopped their ears so that they could not hear. Yes, they made their hearts like flint, refusing to hear the law and the words which the Lord of hosts had sent by his Spirit through the former prophets. Thus, great wrath came from the Lord of hosts.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Isn't it interesting? Okay, tell me, what do you like about that passage?
Well, it's saying you need to be caring for other people who are especially less fortunate than you. You need to be showing mercy and compassion to people in your spheres of influence and people who are strangers in the land. But these people are avoiding that. They're not doing that.
Yeah. So we're going to be continuing looking into that verse as the second greatest sin.
You're listening to the Breakfast Show podcast on Faith FM. Positively different.
We're studying the Bible. We are getting it done here, looking at the two greatest sins in the Bible. So we're going to get back into that. But first, we have another quiz question. So, Shels, what do you have for us? This is a hard one, an easy one.
All right, hang on. We've got to discuss the answer other one.
We're always rushing ahead.
So, because it was interesting, because we got people literally giving nearly every... I think the only one they didn't give was B, but we had most answers given. And I found it interesting because we often think that moment that he goes to the medium and they call up Samuel and, you know, you kind of think the moment that Saul... You know, it was the end of the line.
Yeah, I can see why people would think that, because that was probably the most up in your face.
Yeah,
but the thing is,
that was just like the frosting on the cake. Right?
That's right. This is the cherry on the top of the cake.
Yeah, like everything had already been leading to that moment. Like he'd already been way off the rails before that. Like he full on killed the priests of the tabernacle before that. Yeah. Like years before.
And Samuel had already said that he had rejected
long before
Saul.
David came on the scene at all.
Yeah. Way before the episode of the Witch of Endor.
Yeah, and that was the very last thing he did before he died, right?
Yeah, it was sort of
like decades later.
The answer is Saul rejected the word of God, and the reference comes from 1 Samuel 15:26.
Mm-hmm. 1 Samuel 15:26. Very good. Yeah. All right.
Okay, and then the next question, our last question for the day.
Oh.
Okay. What does Hebrews 3 ask brothers and sisters to do daily to each other so no one can be hardened by sin's deceitfulness?
Ooh, can you say that again?
It's a long one.
Okay, what's the number? And then I want to hear the question one more time.
No. Okay.
No, not that one.
The number is 0491-064-669. It says, what does Hebrews 3 ask brothers and sisters to do daily to each other so none can be hardened by sin's deceitfulness? What do we do for each other? And while they're thinking and typing, the number to text is 0491-064-669. Similar. Scaffy's got a similar idea. I'm trying to read Lindsay's writing. Kind of similar to. So
that's literally yours? What it says in the Bible.
Yeah, you're on the
let
right
me see
track.
Yours, Lindsay.
Well, okay, it's the right word then. It's just a different word to the one I have, but it means the same thing. So that's why I said similar.
Let me write the other one that comes to mind.
Get the right word, Lindsay.
I mean, I'm only using the New King James Version. Like,
yeah.
There we go. That's another word for the one I wrote down.
And I think, what did you have, Scott?
Another
word?
Okay, no, I'm not going to reveal it now.
No, what are we saying?
So read the question one more time.
Okay, one more time. What does Hebrews 3 ask brothers and sisters to do daily to each other so none can be hardened by sin's deceitfulness? We'll wait for Scaffy's answer at the end.
Okay. Yeah. No, I gave my answer already. Maybe it might not be
I couldn't the remember correct the word you one. Used, but that's okay.
Yeah. This is the word that I use.
Yeah. So everyone, and like we've just had someone like Janelle's written in. I think we're all using different words that mean the same thing, basically.
Okay.
Cool.
All righty.
Cool.
Very good.
Shall we keep going with our keep going here. Bible
yes.
study?
Let's go back
I'm
to...
I'm excited to keep talking about this topic.
To Zechariah.
Zechariah. Oh, yeah. Okay.
So I was wanting to ask you, okay, yes. So what jumped out to you, Lindsay, from that passage, from this text?
Oh, can you remind me which chapter we're in?
Yeah, Zechariah chapter 9. I'll read it for you here. Chapter 7, verse 9.
7, verse 9.
Thus has the Lord of hosts said, dispense true justice and practice kindness and compassion each to his brother, and do not oppress the widow or the orphan, the stranger, the poor, and do not devise evil in your hearts against one another. But they refused to pay attention and turned a stubborn shoulder and stopped their ears from hearing.
Ooh, this kind of sounds like what Saul got up to, rejecting the word of the Lord.
Yes.
A little bit. Yeah, like turning your heart away from the, I guess, the law of love that God gives us to follow, right?
Yeah, I think so. I think you can say that.
Yeah.
Rejecting the law of love. What I liked about that passage is, number one, I think that it summarizes very well this idea of, you know, treating others badly.
Yeah.
So you said love, the great commandment says love your neighbor as yourself. And here say, look, don't oppress people and don't devise evil in your heart and don't ignore people, but practice kindness, compassion, and so on.
Mm.
But there's also another sin that is associated with that. And this is the one. They refused to pay attention and turned a stubborn shoulder and stopped their ears from hearing. This is what the Bible calls the sin against the Holy Spirit.
Oh.
That's when we are stubborn, when the Holy Spirit is talking to us and we are just choosing to reject that voice at each moment, at each time. That's when the problem starts to compile.
When you were first reading it out, I thought, is this what it means when the Israelites are called a stiff-necked people? When they're, you know, just...
Yeah.
Yeah.
God says one thing and you say, no, I'm not going to do this.
Not going to do it.
I'm going to do it my way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is hardening the heart, turning away from God.
So the two greatest sins, idolatry and failing to love others.
Yeah. And squashing the voice of the Holy Spirit in
your
life.
So the squashing of the voice of the Holy Spirit, I would say, is kind of underlying on both of them. Because the Holy Spirit is wooing us and trying to
soften us,
convince us of doing justice.
Yeah, exactly.
Of being relationally faithful in all of our relationships. But then when we are ignoring it, we're deciding to ignore, that's when we are committing the sin against the Holy Spirit. We are basically saying, yeah, no, not going to heed to that voice. So I think that the sin against the Holy Spirit, I would say, is probably the number one sin, the greatest.
Yeah.
Then it manifests in both sin against God, ultimately, and sin against others as well. So these are the two greater sins. And therefore, let's get back to 1 John chapter 4, verse 20 and verse 21. This is our verse of the week, if you want.
It says,
First John chapter 4, verse 20 and 21.
Okay. Do you want me to read that?
Yeah, please.
Yep. Mm-hmm. If someone says, I love God. Oh, yes, we read this yesterday, didn't we? If I love God and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? And this commandment we have from him, that he who loves God must love his brother also. Yeah.
Again, this passage is, you know, just say, look, they're connected.
Yeah.
If you love God,
they go hand
well, then
hand.
You have to respect him. And God himself says, look, dispense true justice and practice kindness and compassion to his brother. So if you're not doing this, we had that discussion yesterday, Lindsay.
Mm.
You know, when you follow God, you start doing these things automatically and naturally starting to be kind to people. And they say, yes, sure, but not always.
Mm.
sure, our hearts will start to be more aligned with God's heart. But there will be times, guess what, that we will not feel like dispensing true justice or practice kindness and compassion. We spoke about how God today. I think it was very interesting. One of the words that you chose, like God, sometimes interrupts.
Yes, us. The divine interruption.
The divine interruption, but. It's kind of like, what if they are not interruptions at all?
Mm-hmm.
What if everything else is an interruption?
Ooh.
And doing justice, this is not the interruption, but this is actually the purpose to which we were supposed to be geared towards 24/7. It's only an interruption when you think that you're doing something more important.
Like, could our like daily set schedules that we set for ourselves be an interruption to God's plan sometime?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, that's a perspective shift right there.
So I don't think it's God really interrupting us. I think that we are constantly interrupting God in what he wants to do.
Yeah.
And sometimes he just say, hey, can I interrupt your interruption?
Yeah. We put him in a box and we say, you can be with me for the first 15 minutes of my day when I do my morning devotions, and the last 15 minutes at night when I read my Bible before bed, and maybe for the 10 seconds that I pray over my food in the day, but that's it.
And then the rest of the day, I'm on my own.
Yeah.
I'm doing my things.
See you later.
And they're not bad things. I'm not saying that you're doing in oppression, you're devising evil in your heart. No. But you're not attuned. You know, I'll tell you, yesterday I had a salesperson coming to my house.
Yeah.
Right? You know, one of these persons that, you know, want to install solar panels in your house. I do not know if they ever knocked your door. They knock in and say, hey, they look and they see that I don't have solar panels. They say, okay, this is an easy prey. Let's talk about, let's offer him solar. So he came up. And I said, okay, sure, open my door. And I was sitting with him. I was thinking here, God, can you please give me an opportunity, you know, to talk about you with this person? You know, I was not necessarily interested
in the solar panels.
No, but so, you know, maybe that's an opportunity.
Sure.
Well, as we were having a conversation, turns out that his wife is a believer.
Mm-hmm.
He is not.
Oh.
But he's actually interested in learning more about the Bible. Now, he might have said that because he wanted to sell me the solar panel.
Yeah, he could have been going along.
But you
with
know
it.
What? I don't think so. Mm-hmm. I know a little bit about people, particularly when my brain is highly specialized in talking about spiritual things with people, because mm-hmm. I do this all the time and I love it. And I could realize that he was, and he brought up the subject, by the way.
Oh.
He brought up, I think he, at some point of the conversation, I was praying to God, God, I don't want to be rude or anything like that, but can you give me an opportunity? And somewhere in the middle of that conversation, he said something about his wife attending a church. I said, oh, that's my leading. I said, hey, well, you know, what church does your wife go to? Say, oh, this church and so on and so forth. Say, oh, great. And so we struck a conversation from that point. So again, was God interrupting me? No, I was saying, God, this is the number one thing. Everything else is an interruption.
Sure.
But doing your will, that should be my focus. And I wish that I could have that attitude at every single day of my life, all the time. Sadly, it's not, you know, historically, that's not always the case. I get easily distracted by doing my things and doing other things. But instead, imagine if we could at every single instance, whatever we are doing, saying, God, I'm going to do this, but if you have something else for me to do, you know, or if there's any way that I can glorify you or somehow witness to you, can you please give me that opportunity? Because that's what it's going to bring the greatest joy to my heart, way more so than just taking any other box in my to-do list.
Yeah. Oh, that's so good. Oh, thank you so much for sharing that with us today.
Yeah, praise. Yeah, my pleasure.
Turning away from idolatry, away from our selfish ways, or even our to-do list for the day, and turning towards what God has for us. Yeah.
There you go.
You're listening to the Breakfast Show podcast on Faith FM, positively different.
We are coming to the end of our program, Lindsay.
That's already. Always the saddest part of the program is the end.
Yeah, always
for me.
The saddest part of the, for sure. But you know what? We'll be back tomorrow as well. So that's a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
And let's give the answer to the quiz question.
All right, so our last question, which I think pretty much everyone got it right, but just literally everybody used a different word. What does Hebrews 3 ask brothers and sisters to do daily to each other so none can be hardened by sin's deceitfulness? We had, I think it was edify, encourage, exhort. I'm trying to think of all the other options people gave me.
That's right. Yeah. Pray, we have to pray.
My first guess was holy kiss, but that was not right.
Yeah, I think that my answer was actually not very correct. I said, "Spur one another into good works," which is to encourage.
That's encouraging.
But that's from a different passage of Hebrews, sure. though.
Oh, you could
that
pass.
Uses that expression.
Yeah,
I had encouraged one another. Can we give a shout out to Sue? She's our first time listener. She says she's enjoying it.
Mm. So is that the Sue that I'm thinking?
Oh, I don't know what the last name is. By the way, shout out to my mum. Mum, if you're still listening, my mum is Sue.
Is this your mum?
It could be. Yeah, that's my mum.
All right, shout out to Lindsay's mum. Thank you so much for listening to us. It's great to have Lindsay in the show. So, we really enjoy her here. So, and we enjoy you listening to the show as well. I hope you could get a blessing from today's show. And this is it, Lindsay. We spoke about a few different things today in the show. We spoke about Jesus canceling out the certificate of debt that was piling up against us, mm-hmm. imposed by these man-made traditions.
Mm-hmm.
Colossians chapter 2, verse 14. This is one of the things that Jesus abolished and nailed to the cross. This is what was nailed to the cross, not the law in general, but the dogmas. The man-made laws. We spoke about a delivery driver that saved the day. We spoke about Papua New Guinea's new amendment to their constitution mm-hmm. and becoming a Christian country. A Baptist pastor that was prosecuted in Northern Ireland just for preaching a sermon in no-go abortion protection zone. We spoke about processed meats, the two greatest sins. We covered a lot of ground today. And I wanted to know, what was your favorite part of the show today?
Ooh, my favorite part of the show
or
today.
Or something that, you will take away with you for the rest of your day.
Oh, look, it's not stuff that was on air, but I think I just really enjoyed our behind-the-scenes chats, actually, in between, while the songs are going on. I think we just had a good time chatting here today. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Very good. And my takeaway, Shells, not about you, but I was stoked to learn that cacao.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yes, the cacao.
Cacao is rich in iron.
Yeah.
So I'm going to make sure that I already sprinkle it more on my breakfast.
I already knew that chocolate was filled with magnesium, which is really good for women specifically with cramps and things like that. So it's a health food. And now it's got even more good reasons.
There you go.
I said to John, you've made a Faith FM team of chocoholics now.
That's right.
Look, I already was a chocoholic, to be honest. But I have better excuses now.
Yeah, I'll tell you, I like smoothies and adding cacao to my smoothie. So I throw in some soy milk or some plant-based milk and then some frozen berries, bananas, fruits, just chuck in some cacao and happy days.
Very good.
What about you, Shells? What was your highlight for you in today's show?
Oh, you know what? I actually love interacting with the quizzes and seeing people interact with us. Like, I actually love it when the listeners are interacting with us. It really is enjoyable and fun, and they give me a smile and laugh. So thank you to the listeners.
There
Absolutely. Thank you so much. And I got really caught. Like, I didn't really know for how much Isaiah bought his wife back from her slavery. Yeah, Hosea. And 15 shekels of silver and 1.5 omers of barley. And that might sound a lot, but that's not a lot.
It's half price. And she was on sale.
And I think this is it. Like, this is how much the idols of this world value us as well. Like, they will sell us at a heartbeat.
Yeah, definitely.
But for God, well, how much are we worth? Well, infinite. Because he redeemed us, he rescued us with the life of God's own son, Jesus Christ. And that's a high price to pay. Very good, everyone. We see you tomorrow. So talk faith, live faith, act faith, and you will grow in Jesus Christ.
God be with you till we meet again. God be with you till we meet again. By his counsel's guide uphold you, with his sheep securely fold you. God be with you till we meet again. Until we meet again at Jesus' feet.
for being a part of the Faith FM family. Join our community on Facebook or get in touch at 1-800-FAITH-FM.